Well, this morning, we are going to get our Bibles open again to the New Testament letter of Romans. Now, boys and girls especially, I hope you can remember that we're looking at this letter called Romans. And contained in this letter of Romans is God's good news, which is, if you can remember in four words, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're going to read another part of that letter this morning. So if you've got a Bible, whether you're young or old, make sure you can get sight of a Bible. We're in Romans chapter 3 this morning and verse 9. Now, Lydia Wright had very kindly recorded this Bible reading for us, but we've got some technical glitches here this morning and we can't seem to make it work. So I'm going to read it to us. But thank you, Lydia, for recording it. I'm sorry that we don't get to play that this morning. But here we are, Romans chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up at verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded because of the law that requires works. No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is God's word to us this morning, and Tim is going to come and help us to think about this together.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's going to be great to get this chapter open and to think about it together now. It's full of so many things, isn't it? And hopefully in this time, we'll better understand what God's word has to say to us. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then we'll look at that together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your living and active word. Please, this morning, would you show us our sin, our wrongdoing, and please show us the Savior we need. Show us Jesus from these pages. Help us to rejoice in him today. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as Nathan's already introduced to us, we're continuing looking at this letter that Paul has written to the church in Rome. And we've learned lots of great things, some of which Nathan's already reminded us of. This good news, God's good news, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is our saving King. Jesus is the King to obey and to fear. Now, to help us think about what Nathan's just kindly read for us this morning, we're going to think about two words, okay? Two words. One is a made-up word, and one's a real word. You can see even spot the difference. But hopefully these two words will help us to understand and to remember what Romans 3 is all about. So here's the first word. Here it is. This word is righteous. Can you say it at home? One, two, three. Righteous. Now, when we say this word, I want you to get thumbs up, because this is a good thing, okay? We'll say it again. One, two, three. Righteous. Righteous means being right with God. It means being friends with him. It means having a good relationship with him, living a life that's pleasing. Being righteous means being right with God. That's the first word we're looking at. Now, the second word, and this is the made-up one, the second word is kind of the opposite of that. So we've had righteous, but this is our second word that's going to help us think through and remember Romans 3. And this word is wrongious. So for wrongious, we want to get thumbs down, because it's not a good thing. So we've got righteous, and now we've got wrongious. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. Wrongious. So wrongious is the opposite of righteous. It means not being on good terms with God. It means being wrong with him, as it were. It means being his enemy rather than his friends. It's not a good thing. So here are two words. We've got righteous and wrongous, and they're going to help us to understand Romans 3. So here we go. I hope you're ready. Are you ready? You're sitting up at home on your sofa, hopefully. Here we go. The first thing we're going to look at, the first word we're going to look at is actually wrongous. You see, in the Bible, again and again, we're told that we are wrongous. And just to help us to see that, we could pick out lots of verses, and we won't be able to cover everything here this morning. But I just want to read one verse again for us. It hopefully appear on your screen. If it doesn't, it's verse 23, little number 23. And it says this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is what it's describing. We're wrongous, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, to help us think about that verse, that phrase, I've got a really special guest with me here in the building this morning, okay? His name is Bugle Durrows. So, Bugle, I'm going to invite you up. Just for a minute, you have to come and stand over here. Now, Bugle Durrows has been in training for a long time, you could tell. And this morning, live on our YouTube channel, I'm hoping he's going to break a world record. Now, I hope you've got a woo at home for that, because that's a big thing, isn't it? And the world record that Bugle Durrows is going to try and win today is one that stood for 30 years. 30 years ago, this guy called Mike Powell, he jumped so far, it was a world record, and it's still after 30 years, and he managed to jump 8.95 meters. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? So to get an idea of how long that is, that's the same, and hopefully the tech team get me here, that's the same from jumping from the vestry door all the way over to where the piano is. Can we see that? Brilliant. That's a long way, isn't it? Bugle, are you feeling confident about this? You're feeling confident about breaking this world record? Okay, well, yeah, do some stretches. Why don't you get yourself ready? Why don't you walk past the swimming pool, So a bit further. Yep, past the jacuzzi. Yep, that's it. You get ready. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to do a countdown. And when we get to go from three down to zero, when we get to zero, let's see if Boogle can beat the world record. And remember, he's got to jump from the vestry past the piano. He might even have to jump over the board. That's how confident I'm feeling this morning. So let's see, shall we? Right, ready? I'll do a little slow clap at home as well, if you like. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Oh, stay there, stay there. Let's just check, let's just check. Don't move. It's not looking great, mate. No, not quite. You needed to just get much further than that, if that's all right. I'll tell you what, go and have another go. Maybe second time lucky, hey? Go and have another go. He looked a bit disappointed, didn't he? Do you think he's going to do it this time? He did fall quite short of that, didn't he? He's got to get all the way over to the piano. Do you think he's going to do it? Well, make sure you're cheering on at home for Boogle. I'm sure he can hear us. Right, Boogle, you ready? Let's go for a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, I'm impressed. That was pretty good. But I'm not sure. I don't even think I'm going to need to get the tape measure for that, am I? Let's just see. You're really far short, aren't you? Oh, that's really sad. But why don't you go take a seat? Just recover for a little bit. I'm sorry you've had to do so much training for that. Oh, well, I'm going to give you a clap anyway. Give him a little clap at home. Oh, he looks really disappointed. But in reality, Boogle felt quite short, didn't he, of that? He had to try and get past the piano, and he didn't even make it to the board. Oh, but he did try hard. But do you know what? That's exactly what that verse that we read before Boogle came up. It tells us, verse 23, listen to it again. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, the glory of God is like this world record from here to there. It's huge. And when we try and reach it, when we try and match up to that standard, to that goodness and perfection, well, even if we try really hard like Boogle did, we fall well short. We don't get anywhere near it. And that's because we are wrong-tious. And do you know what? It's not just you. It's not just me. It's everyone. See, that? Look at that verse again. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's all of us. All of us have done wrong things. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are wrong-tious. That's what the Bible says. And we've seen this, haven't we? As we've worked our way through Romans, this letter we've been looking at on Sunday mornings, we've seen this again and again already. But in this chapter that Nathan just read for us, Paul highlights it a couple, even more times. See, adults, just go to verse 10 of chapter 3. And just follow with me some of the things that Paul says. He's quoting other places in the Bible to prove this. Boys and girls, I want you to either look over your parents' shoulder or to listen into these words. Because these words I'm about to read from verse 10 describe some of our wrongshousness. Paul gives us lots of lots of images to describe it. And he talks about our hearts. He talks about our mouths. And he talks about our actions. So listen up to these words. So let me start from verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do you hear that? 6 times, Paul, quoting these verses, says, there's no one good. No one's done good. No one is righteous. Which means we are wrong-tious. That's what the Bible says. And this first picture we're given is of our hearts. You see, God gave us hearts to seek him and to love him and to live for him. And yeah, what did it say? It says, we are those who have turned our backs on him. Now, with the heart coming up, you might be prompted to remember that today is Valentine's Day. And you could do a little woo in your house if you know what it is. Valentine's Day is a day where we're encouraged, or we're supposed to show the people that are closest to us how much we love them. Now imagine if before today I had remembered that, okay? Just imagine if I'd remembered that today was Valentine's Day and I'd gone out and got Rachel, my wife, a lovely box of chocolates. Now it's not this box because I got hungry. And I've eaten all of them, apart from, I think there's a couple left, only takers, some eclairs in here. But imagine if I'd remembered to buy this for Rachel, to give it to her, to show her how much I love her. So I give her this gift. Now, she wouldn't do this because she's lovely. But imagine if, as I gave this gift to Rachel, to express my love for her, she kind of took them and walked over here, turned her back on me, and kind of ate all the sweets that were in here. Didn't say thank you, just ignored me even being there. Could you imagine? How would you feel if someone did that to you? I think I'd feel really upset. And yet, boys and girls, this is what the Bible says. Those verses we just looked at kind of describe. We should seek God with all our hearts. We shouldn't turn away from him. And yet, just like that illustration, we kind of grab what God's given us and we kind of ignore him and live life without him. Rather than having hearts that seek God and are in tune with his, we go our own way and just to take from God what he's given us. And boys and girls, we do this. We do this all the time. We moan when we don't get the things that we want. We often forget to say thank you to God or even forget that he's there sometimes. We just get on with life without him. That's a picture of our hearts. And it shows us that we are wrongous. Paul goes on, so I can get my Bible out again. Verse 13, adults, hopefully you're still there. This is what he goes on to say. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. See, these verses describe our mouths and our lips. And it's not good, is it? God gave us lips so that we could praise him, to praise him and say how great he is. And yet so often we use our mouths to do unkind things, don't we? Boys and girls, can you remember a time recently when perhaps you said something that was unkind to someone at home? Boys and girls, can you remember a time recently perhaps when you told a lie to someone? Paul says our mouths, the Bible says our mouths show us that we are wrongous. Let's just look at one couple more verses. From verse 15. This is what Paul says. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See, these verses describe our feet, our actions. God made us to be those whose feet would take us to do what is good. And yet so often we run to do what is not good. Can you think of a time, even this week, where perhaps you did something that was wrong? Perhaps you were jealous of your brother or sister because they painted a better picture than you, and you wanted to ruin it because you didn't like the fact they'd done something better than you. Perhaps someone was mean to you this week, and you wanted to hurt them back. Our hearts, our lips, and our feet, our actions, they show us that ultimately we are wrongous. And this is what the Bible again and again reveals to us. It shows us that that is what we are like naturally. And adults, just look at verse 20. Boys and girls, listen to this. It says, therefore, because of all of these things that we're looking at. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous, being right with God in God's sight, by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The law being much of the Old Testament, and really it's the whole Bible we have. The Bible again and again shows us that we are wrongous. Boys and girls, that's our first word this morning. Wrongous. Can you say it with me? 1, 2, 3. Wrongous. No matter how hard we try in life to be good, to reach God's glory, as it were, ultimately we are wrongous. We fall well short, just like Bugle did, because of all the wrong things we do. Instead of pleasing God, God is angry with us because of our wrongousness. Boys and girls, do you see this morning afresh that you are wrongous? Do you see that everyone in our world is wrongous? God looks at us, you and me. He looks at this world and he says, they're wrongous. And he's cross with us. And that's a really horrible, a really sad place to be, isn't it? But until we understand that we are wrongous, well, then we will never understand the wonderful news we're considering on Sunday mornings. And our second word today, which is righteous. If we don't understand that we're righteous, we'll never get word number two, which is righteous. And again, righteous means being right with God. So here's the big question then. If we are righteous, how do we get righteous? If we fall short of God's glory, how do we reach it? Well, wonderfully, the rest of Romans 3 and really, the whole Bible tells us and explains to us how that's possible. And again, we're just going to zoom in on a few verses here to help us to see the wonderful truth. You see, the answer isn't we need to try harder, or the answer isn't in ourselves. Bugle was never going to make it, was he? Even if he trained more and more, I don't think he's ever going to make it. He's never going to reach up to that standard. So how do we move from being wrongous to righteous? Well, let me just read one verse for us, and we'll think about some others as we go. But verse 22, hopefully it appears on your screen as well. But it says this, verse 22. This righteousness, this being right with God, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This is God's good news. Jesus makes us righteous. We are wrongous, but Jesus makes us righteous. Oh. Can you hear that noise? Maybe it's just me. Oh, it's my phone. I'm really sorry, boys and girls. It's really unprofessional, isn't it? Sorry. Hello? Hello? Hey, yes, hello. Really? Really? Well, that's amazing. Yes, of course. Yeah, can I tell him the good news? Yes, fantastic. Thank you so much for ringing. Thank you. Bye-bye. You will never guess who that was. He must be watching this morning. That was Mike Powell. Hi, Mike. That was Mike Powell. You know the guy that got this world record for the long jump, who jumped 8.95 meters? He's just phoned. Isn't that amazing? He must be watching this morning. Now, do you know what he said? He said he's been watching this morning, and he said, do you know what? That Bugle Durrows, he can share my world record. He can have it. How pleased do you think Bugle's going to be? Bugle, come back up here. I've got some great news for you, mate. I've got something for you. Bugle, I'm not sure, I have to leave it on the floor for you, but Bugle, I can give you this world record for the long jump. Look, it's got your name on it and everything. Now, I know you didn't earn it because you couldn't jump that far, could you? But Mike is willing to give this to you. He's willing to give it to you. I'm just going to pop that down there. And you can take the bottom bit, which I didn't touch. There you go, Bugle. How you feeling?
Amazing!
Brilliant. Well, Bugle, go and take a seat. Go and tell everyone the wonderful news. well, that was pretty cool. I was not expecting that this morning. But actually, do you know what? The Bible talks of something even better than what we've just seen. See, Bugle hadn't, he fell well short, didn't he, of reaching that world record, and yet Mike was willing to give it to him. Listen to that verse I just read, verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Can you hear it, the good news? To be made righteous, to be made right with God is a gift. Look at verse 24, adults. And all are justified, that means made righteous, all are justified freely by his grace. To be made righteous is free for you and me. It is a gift from God. Just like Bugle's never going to make it on his own. But he's now holds this world record. So there is a way for you and I to move from being righteous, which is what we are, to being righteous, being right with God. From moving under his anger to moving under his smile. And this righteousness costs us nothing. You don't need to save up £1 million. You don't need to give God 10,000 Mars bars. You don't need to show God an attendance certificate, 100% for church. No. This righteousness, being righteous, is a gift. It costs us nothing. But how can God do that? How can God, if we are righteous, make us righteous? How can he do that for free for us? Well, the answer is that though it costs us nothing, it costs Jesus his life. Earlier, we thought through, didn't we, those verses in the Bible which showed us our sin, our righteousness. And it talked about there being no one that was good. And that is true. There's no one in our world that is perfect, that always loves God, always speaks well, always does what is good. Well, that is with the exception of Jesus. See, Jesus is amazing. Jesus always loves God with his heart. He always does what pleases him. He never turns away from God. Jesus always used his speech to build others up, to declare what was true, even the fact that we're righteous. And Jesus always went to the places to do good for others. And boys and girls, that led him to one day going to a cross. Jesus' feet took him to the cross so that he could become righteous. God could punish Jesus as being righteous so that Jesus could make us righteous. See, at the cross, that was what was happening. Jesus didn't deserve to die. But on the cross, Jesus took on himself all of our righteousness, all of our sin, so that he could give us his righteousness. Being righteous is free for us as we trust in Jesus. But that's because Jesus paid the price for it. We are righteous, but Jesus makes us righteous. Can we say that together? We are righteous, but Jesus makes us righteous. And again, how do we know if we really have moved from being righteous to righteous? Well, Romans 3, the Bible says to us, it's as we trust in Jesus, as we believe that he has really done this for us, that he died on the cross for me. As I call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, sorry that I'm righteous. Sorry for all of my sins. Please forgive me. Please make me righteous, Jesus. And if you say that to him, boys and girls, he promises to. He promises to make you righteous. Boys and girls, do you believe this? It's not about what you or I do. It's about what Jesus has done. Do you see that you are righteous? Do you see that only Jesus can make you righteous? So here you go. Here are two words this morning. that help us to understand what Romans 3 and really the whole Bible is about. We are wrongous, but Jesus makes us righteous as we trust him, as we ask him to do that. Now, before we end, there's one last thing that we need to listen, as Paul says. There's something else captured in these verses which we really need to hear. Okay? It's in verse 27, adults, if you're there, but listen to these words. Because Paul goes on to say, after explaining this, Paul says, verse 27, where then is boasting? Where then is boasting?
Well, I am the greatest long jumper of all time. I mean, if anyone saw how far I jumped, they would agree with me. I am the greatest of all time. Now, boys and girls, I'm sure you saw how far I jumped, and I am so good at jumping really far. I got the Guinness World Record to back me up and prove it. I'm so good!
Right, but can I just stop you there? Boys and girls, can you believe this? Boogle, we watched you jump. I mean, how far did you actually get?
I got far enough to get me a long jump world record.
Well, let's just rewind a little bit, because you didn't actually earn that yourself, did you? How did you get that certificate? How did you get that world record for the long jump?
I got given it.
Yeah, who gave it to you?
The guy who actually deserves it.
Yeah, Mike. Now, surely then, you can't boast about that certificate because you didn't do anything towards it, did you?
No, I didn't. You're right.
I'll tell you what, a better thing you could do, because actually, you shouldn't boast about doing it yourself because you did nothing to earn it. But what you could do, Boogle, is go and tell your family and your friends what Mike has done for you, because it was a kind thing, wasn't it? He gave you that record.
You're right. I'm going to do that right now.
Go on then, off you go. Booger's going to go and tell everyone what great guy Mike was.
Nathan, Mike is a great guy.
Yeah, if you are watching, Mike, it's great to have you with us. See, the only room... So can you believe Booger would be up for boasting about that? We watched him, didn't we? He only got this far. I mean, to be fair, I don't think I could have done any better, but maybe you could have done, but he didn't get anywhere near it. And that's the same for us. We are righteous. We are not righteous on our own. Jesus alone makes us righteous. Just like Boogle didn't earn his world record, neither can we make ourselves righteous. It's a gift. And so the only room for boasting, really, is that we boast about what God has done. We can't boast about ourselves for this because we haven't done anything. So if you're going to boast, let's boast about Jesus and what he's done. Why not tell someone even today, well, look, I am wrongous, we are wrongous, but Jesus makes us righteous. Why don't you tell someone that today? So boys and girls, two words to help us this morning. Wrongous and righteous. We are wrongous, but Jesus makes us righteous. Let me pray, and then I'll hand back over to Nathan in a minute. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word, the Bible, doesn't tell us what we want to hear, but it tells us exactly what is true and exactly what we need to hear. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for telling us again this morning that we are wrongous. We have done so many things that are wrong. And on our own, we do not please you. And yet we thank you this morning for the reminder that actually we could never do that. And we don't need to because Jesus has done it for us. We thank you that Jesus does make us righteous as we turn to him and trust him. So Heavenly Father, please help us this morning to see that we are really wrongous. But by trusting Jesus, he makes us righteous. And that we can't boast about that because it's nothing we do. But it's a work that you've done. So help us to speak to others about you and what you've done for us in Jesus. Lord, please forgive us our wrongousness. Thank you for making us righteous in Jesus. Please help us this week to tell others about him. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.